yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
April this year, Queen Elizabeth II, the world's oldest and longest reigning monarch, celebrated her 91st birthday. A few months later in August, Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, retired at the age of 96. The Queen, however, is not expected to relinquish her throne anytime soon. Her firstborn child, Prince Charles, is now the oldest ever Prince of Wales.
Well, I mean, simply, we don't think that it's something to celebrate when someone is in public office for 63 years. It's normally a sign of a need for reform. People don't last in public office unless there's something wrong with the constitution or something wrong with the political climate and culture. And I think in Britain's case, there's something wrong with both.
At her coronation, many tried to make Queen Elizabeth the symbol of TV age modernity, a young mother in Westminster Abbey, heralding what Winston Churchill promised would be an immense and undreamed of prosperity. Living standards soared over time, but far less than anticipated.
I've been three times in court trying to stop repossession of a house. So I'm either in my wheelchair outside, or I'm struggling, hobbling around, using my furniture, using my stick, here in the home, trying to live a life.
I was made unemployed 6 months ago, and as a disabled person, I've got no future now. I don't get job seeker's allowance. That finished. It's all over. Now I'm forced into retirement, and I want to work. Can't get a job. 54, disabled, scrappy.
Elizabeth II's reign has been an age of dramatic and turbulent change. The Queen has been presiding over the rapid dismantling of the British Empire, which once had a population of over 700 million. Now, with Scottish and Welsh nationalism growing more and more, Britain is likely to be a ramshackle collection of small kingdoms.
Today is our day of destiny. Today is the day that the people of Scotland reclaim our nation.
At the age of her coronation in 1952, a woman's place was still in the home. Yet over the years that followed, women flocked into the workforce on an unprecedented scale. But the real women's revolution of the Elizabethan age was taking place elsewhere, as birth control, abortion reform, and the 1970 Equal Pay Act transformed the gender settlement of the 1950s. The liberalism of the Elizabethan era continued with legalizing homosexuality and giving rights to gay and lesbian people. But the liberalism had its price as family breakdown reshaped the societal foundations of Elizabethan Britain. Divorce, cohabitation, and single-parent households all skyrocketed as the traditional post-war family structure came under unprecedented pressure. As Queen Elizabeth nears the last legs of her reign, the future does not look too rosy for the British monarchy, whose image has been damaged by failed marriages and princely drug abuse, and scandals which have made way into the media.
Bit down the middle. I was furious when I freed.
She dug her heels in, got the mesh.
With Prince Charles recently unmasked as a serial interferer in state affairs, and Prince William described as work-shy, life after Queen Elizabeth may not be a smooth one for the monarchy. Prince Charles, the British heir to the throne, has been accused of using his position as the future king to lobby ministers in secret in an attempt to influence government policy. Bob Morris, a professor with University College London's Constitution Unit, says, as king, he would have the traditional rights to be consulted, to encourage, and to warn. Should a king seek to exceed these traditional duties, for example, by publicly opposing his government's policies, then an impasse could ensue.
It's a convention that the monarch is head of state, and that convention remains only insofar as the monarch has no part in party politics. As soon as they do what they are doing now, and intervening party politically, they risk being abolished.
The extent of Charles' involvement in political affairs was revealed by the release of a series of letters that he wrote to government ministers in 2004 and 2005, finally released in 2015. Despite the government's efforts to keep them from public view, the so-called Black Spider memos showed Charles sought to lobby politicians on a range of issues from herbal medicine to badger culling.
What would be embarrassing for the whole political establishment is the fact that the royal family are known for conservative, if not actually reactionary views, that they do have special access to ministers, access to the government which the rest of us don't have, and that they try to use that access to put forward a series of views which most people in this country would actually reject out of hand.
Speaking to Newsweek magazine, Prince Harry recently made the somewhat surprising claim that no member of the royal family wants to inherit the crown. He told the magazine, "Is there any one of the royal family who wants to be king or queen? I don't think so, but we will carry out our duties at the right time." No matter who will come after the queen and how he will act, the future of the monarchy as an outdated institution is in danger of extinction. Important questions about the relevance of the monarchy in modern society have been constrained so far out of respect for the Queen's long reign. According to Dr. Anna Whitelock at Royal Holloway in London, all of those questions about what the hell do we want this kind of unelected family for, what does that represent in Britain today, all these profound questions have been held in check because of the Queen. Millions of people in the UK have no idea why the royal family can spend taxpayers' money on private travel, palatial homes, round-the-clock security, and personal staff.
Most people think that the royal family is a commercial enterprise, and as a commercial enterprise, it should tighten its belt. They should reduce the number of employees and increase productivity.
It's really important that the royal household, working with the Treasury supporting them, should get better value for money for the £31 million of taxpayers' money they received last year, and then use that money to make sure that they really are proper guardians of the heritage properties under their wing.
In recent years, there have been many debates as to whether the monarchy should be abolished. The fact is that hereditary appointments are incompatible with democracy and meritocracy. Royalists say this does not matter because the monarch no longer runs Britain. Yet in theory at least, she or he has considerable powers to wage war, sign treaties, dissolve the parliament, and more. In a democratic society, there is no room for a head of state who is put there for life and by birth. This feudal system is now outdated, and Britain needs change in order to revolutionize the country and live in a more modern and democratic society.
Even in the case of the current Queen, I wouldn't overstate it. There's 30% of people in this country in opinion polls who would like to see a republic in this country, and you never get to hear that. You never get to say, oh, nearly a third of Brits think that the monarchy should be abolished. But it's true. When we get to Prince Charles and the other members of the royal family, they've got significantly lower approval ratings than the Queen herself. And, of course, there's quite a big push now to say that there should be a referendum when the Queen goes about whether this country continues to have a monarchy.
Many believe Queen Elizabeth II will be Queen Elizabeth the last. Only time will tell.